Overpreparedness is way better than underpreparedness. So those of you that haven't got your stuff ready, you know you have a little bit of time here on Oahu. You better get it going. Let's get right to the phone right away this morning and get ball rolling. Brad, good morning. Thank you for joining me. What's the latest?
Yeah, the latest. So we've been looking at everything that's been happening in Hawaii. And, of course, we're hoping for the best as the hurricane approaches the islands. And one of the things that we specialize in at Wapley, as you know, is looking at data around small businesses and their performance. And so while there's a lot of things to discuss as it relates to preparations for the storm and how it might impact the people there, and, of course, trying to preserve people's property and lives, one of the things that we're looking at also is how might small businesses fare if the hurricane does hit, how quickly will they bounce back? And we have some historical data that can help us to see what we may expect in Hawaii this year if the storm does make landfall based on what happened with, like, Hurricane Harvey last year or Irma last year.
Exactly. And let me tell you how important this is. No matter what happens today, as you well know, here in Hawaii, we are a million little businesses all, it's like a house of cards, and we're all sticking together, and everybody knows, do I open my doors? Do I let my employees prepare themselves? I think it's a great drill if it becomes a drill, but the reality is what you say is what you show might be, the recovery curve might be a lot longer, particularly for some small businesses, than we think.
So it really depends. So one of the unknowns here is exactly how, since Hawaii doesn't get hit by hurricanes very often, we don't really know, like, what the geography might lead to. Is there going to be flooding? Is there going to be landslides that compound the problem? But if we look at what happened last year in Houston with Hurricane Harvey and in Florida with Hurricane Irma, the bright side of this, the silver lining, is that in both of those instances, revenue at small businesses bounced back to normal levels within 1 week. Which is actually really important because we've done some additional kind of survey data with small businesses to see how much financial runway they have, and it's not a lot. Most businesses would shut down if a few months went by and they didn't have revenue. So if their business is flooded, they can't actually generate cash. Those businesses may shut down.
Yeah, I was just saying that earlier, and I'm glad you're here about that, because during our Hurricane Eva in 1982, we were on the air for days, and then in 1992, Hurricane Iniki. But since then, we haven't been slapped by a big major one. But the thing is also, we didn't have the two words that you talk with expertise about back in our day, and that was social media, and what a role it's going to play in that recovery that you talked about.
Yeah, in fact, we talked to dental businesses after the big hurricane that hit New York City, and one of the things that they used was social media to actually tell their customers, hey, we're actually open for business. A lot of times people may assume that businesses are shut down. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important aspect of trying to recover. People will be looking for things, even like run-of-the-mill things, like, you know, can I go out and get coffee at a cafe in the wake of the hurricanes, depending on, you know, kind of what their personal situation is, some sense of normalcy. And so being able to communicate with your customers is really critical in the wake of some kind of major event like this.
However, I must tell you, and that's why we are so pleased to have you on this morning, Brad, is that a lot of people say, well, the internet's free. I don't really need any help. I can just go and post stuff. And, you know, and the actual real wisdom is, hey, if you're going to put some resources together, you better get somebody that knows about this web marketing, because without it, you get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, that's right. And so really, when you think about like a physical brick and mortar business, a mom and pop shop, the way that they've typically communicated with their customers is, you know, they talk with them when they're in the shop. They've mm-hmm. done on a first name basis. Really, most customers expect some kind of digital communication now, and you've got to build those relationships in advance. So, you know, meet them where they are on social media. That's one thing we've talked about. Then you also, it's great to have some kind of ability to email them directly or text them directly. That mm-hmm. really is a function of building those relationships, the digital infrastructure ahead of time, having some way of capturing, you know, that contact information so that, you know, under normal circumstances, you're just letting them know that you've got a special offer, or, you know, congratulating them on their birthday or whatever the case may be. But in cases like this, being able to reach out and say, hey, hope you're okay, hope everything's well. Also, just so you know, our shop is open. If there's anything you need,
exactly.
Let us know.
That's what I'm getting at. You know, we have one client in particular, a dear friend of ours who is one of the sponsors of a program we do on Fridays called Fix It Friday, and the name of his company is Hawaiian Rentals. And these guys are the ones that you can get a generator, a scaffold, a ditch digger, all of this stuff for. Well, obviously, in repair after some sort of an event like that, the first thing he does is send out an email blast saying, hey, we got this, we got that, come and get it.
Yeah, and that's especially critical now. So if, as we follow the news coverage from the mainland, we've seen that store shelves are being completely obliterated. You know, people are ransacking stores. And so getting access to that kind of equipment is certainly critical. Also, I mean, one of the things that we saw when we analyzed Hurricane Harvey in Houston, Hurricane Irma in Florida, was that the only business category that didn't see a massive dip during the hurricane was lodging businesses. So you run a motel hotel, there will be displaced people who will be looking to find out, where can I actually find a bed? And so being able to communicate with customers, if you run that kind of a business, is another category that would be really important this time as we're talking about the hurricane making landfall.
Yeah, pretty interesting. We have a lot of vacation rental properties here, and when people stop coming, they're empty. But the thing is, there's also going to be a lot of people, depending on the severity of this event, that might need a place for 2 weeks, a month, or whatever. And, you know, maybe there's a little sunshine in that cloud by saying, okay, don't throw your hands up in dismay. Find out how to reach out to people that need the place to stay.
Yeah, and this is especially important because in Hawaii, we don't really know yet exactly what the impact will be because of some of the variables around flooding, around landslides, like the topography and the geography. Like, it's just not very well tested. Like Houston, they get hit with hurricanes fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Florida is a pretty hot spot for that kind of thing. And so, you know, they sort of know the drill and they know what to expect with, a little bit of variability. In Hawaii, you know, who knows which island is going to see the biggest brunt, which parts of the islands will really, you know, kind of feel the fury the most. And so communication is going to be really critical. And also being able to, like, identify where resources are, you know, to your point, having some kind of digital communication system is really critical in that regard. And people will be actively looking for the things that they need. They'll be looking for, you know, a place to stay. They'll be looking for, you know, maybe it's a generator. Maybe it's just, you know, a hardware store that's open so they can, you know, get some things to repair some damages to the outside of their home.
Yeah, that's good. And there's another thing, too. And, you know, here we are. We take for granted all of this technology that it's our fingertip. But I was just thinking of that when I came in really early this morning about the cars on the highway that were anticipating that when they got home from work, there was going to be electricity or that, you know, their refrigerator would still be cold. And when all of a sudden those things get taken away from, you got to be pretty creative because, I mean, social media is great, but what if there's power failure, you can't get online, you know? And the same thing, yep. What happens if you can't text somebody? So I guess preparation in the prior to the event and then aftermath is then get back online and feel somewhat assured and make sure you can let people know that they can do from their home, they can do an awful lot of research and an awful lot of repair work just by getting online.
So you mentioned preparation. So we've talked a lot about kind of like the ability to communicate with customers and so forth. One of the things that I think is really important that I hope people take away from this as a business owner once the hurricane is blown over is sort of like thinking ahead to preparation. So in Hawaii, if you're not used to hurricanes coming and making landfall, be fairly complacent about what a major storm might do to your business. But we've found that, generally speaking, even businesses that are in hurricane-prone areas don't really protect themselves the way that they should. So at Wapley, we sell software. We don't sell insurance, but we were interested in looking at how do businesses insure themselves against these kinds of threats.
Yeah.
So one example, we asked business owners, like, how much financial runway do you have? Only like 1 in 5 businesses that we polled, and this was 3,000 business owners across the country, including in Hawaii, 1 in 5 would shut down within 30 days if sales stopped entirely. So let's say that this storm has a prolonged effect and like there's no sales coming in for 30 days. So 1 in 5 businesses are at risk. And that's a pretty significant financial and
Huge.
Economic
oh, yeah.
toll, right?
Yeah.
And when we look at businesses that say, hey, a weather event, a natural disaster would really hurt my business. It would be extremely damaging. We find that 55% of those business owners have actually weathered a storm like that in the past, but only 28% have disaster insurance and 23% have business interruption insurance, which means you would get cash to
for every day that you
business,
were not open.
Right?
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah,
great
so
point.
I mean, in general, like as people kind of like make sense of this after the storm, I would evaluate if I'm a business owner, am I matching, you know, the way I insure my business against the risks and like the things that could be like business ending blows to my company.
Yeah, that's really a good point. We have a lot of small business people yesterday that were saying, well, you know, my business is squared away, now I got to go do my house. And there was a great, one of the great pieces of information circulating around the other day, compliments of one of our big leading insurers here, was, hey, look, if you got a home, go take a lot of pictures before this event, because you're going to have to prove to the adjuster that it was the way it looked, and that you did have that solar panel on the roof. Same things with your business, right? Your storefront, your parking lot, and all of that stuff, document it.
Yeah, all the preparation is really critical. And again, like, this is a rhythm that you might need to get into because you're not used to hurricanes hitting. Not used to a volcano erupting, but that's obviously been something that Hawaii has dealt with this year as well. So, you know, in times when things are going well, it's really important to think about, hey, when times may get difficult because of something that I can't control, what can I be doing now? Part of that is thinking through, am I protecting my business in the right ways? Do I have the, you know, communication systems? If I'm really on the razor's edge of keeping cash flowing, what's my plan for keeping cash flowing? Or do I have reserves I can rely on if I have an extended period of time?
Sure.
In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, one quarter of businesses shut down because the flooding was so acute that people couldn't make it out to those businesses. It wasn't the actual hurricane. It was the flooding after the fact that kept the businesses literally underwater and financially underwater for so long that they couldn't actually get cash coming in. And that's ultimately what did some of those businesses in.
Yeah, and of course we have a similar situation here with our roads. You know, sometimes there's only one way in and one way out of things. There's not an alternate route. So you do have to be. But I think, first of all, I just got an interesting email from somebody that says, did you say Womply? What is Womply? And that's a great, you know, I just took it for granted. What is Womply? Okay, I asked Brad, what's Womply?
Yeah, Womply, we are a software company. We build software for small businesses. And so we have about 150,000 paying small business customers around the country. They are mom and pop shops, small businesses, very small businesses. So brick and mortar businesses like, you know, corner stores and flower shops and barbers, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I tell you, there's strength in numbers, right? And I mean, obviously now with the track record that you have, pointing at this sort of an event, isn't it sort of an eye-opener to small business people that they just count on so many customers coming through the turnstile in the morning, and if they don't know what to do?
Yeah, you really get into a rhythm, and I think that's something that you start to bank on. And so, one of the things that we also find pretty consistently, and the reason we dive into our transaction data, so our software is powered by transaction data for millions of small businesses. We have, you know, data from, you know, hundreds of millions of consumers flowing through our system, which gives us great visibility into exactly what's happening. And over again, we have an assumption about something, and it's challenged when we look at the data, which if you're running a business, that's certainly the case for you. So, as an example, we looked at restaurants and said, hey, what are your best days of the year? We thought, oh, it must be Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day, Valentine's.
Mother's Day, absolutely. Valentine's Day was actually pretty poor. It's like the 107th best day of the year. So if you're running a business and you're planning your operations according to that, false assumption, that's definitely a challenge for you to run a good business. And so part of this, the intent that we have in, you know, talking to you, for example, is let's enlighten the business owners with real data about what they're up against. So from last year, we see that if the conditions are the hurricane hits and the recovery goes well, most businesses should return to normal operations and normal revenue levels within a week. The variable there is, you know, you even have the governor of Hawaii saying, hunker down and plan on 2 weeks. If that's the case, some businesses are going to start to get into dangerous territory if they don't have deep cash reserves.
Yeah, and you know, because we have no contiguous states, we rely on ships and airplanes. And if you have an issue with a harbor and an airport, these containers that we expect every day, it's like a guy that says, okay, I'm open for business, but I didn't get my meat delivery. Because the meat guy can't get to the harbor to get the meat off the boat.
It's a very different geography, and all the logistics are much different, you know, when you're talking about Hawaii being in the middle of the Pacific versus, you know, Houston, which is, you know, part of one of the largest states in the country, and very landlocked on the inland side. So yeah, it's a very different dynamic. It's something that we're going to be analyzing after the fact as well, and seeing like what is the real impact on small businesses, and surface that also to see, you know, how does this compare to what we saw last year with those big storms that hit the mainland.
Yeah, good stuff. And let's for those, I got a time constraint, Brad, so I got to move on. But I do know that people they're worrying about, you know, what's happening in an hour. How do they make a little mental note or a physical note to themselves on what to do in the aftermath of this to find out what's going on? And even now, if they have a minute, how can they go check on Womply? What's the best way to reach it?
Yeah, Wobbly.com is our website, and we have actually some resources in our data section that talk about these specific things. So we have research about the impact of hurricanes. If you just were to Google Wobbly hurricanes, you'd find some of that information. And in general, I think the big thing is be safe. That's the most important thing. And then get back in, into operation as soon as you can and communicate with your customers so they know that you're open for business. They'll either be looking for what you provide or be looking for some sense of normalcy. And if you can provide that and people can get to your business, they will.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, Brad, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I hope people do take heed of this. It seems like a no-brainer to me. Let's hope that Wobbly.com lights up and you can help some of our folks.
Well, be safe, and we are wishing the best for everyone in Hawaii.
Thanks very much. That's Brad Plothro from Wobbly.